Monday, March 3rd. First reading from Sirach chapter 17, verses 20 through 24. To the penitent, God provides a way back. He encourages those who are losing hope and has chosen for them the lot of truth. Return to Him and give up sin. Pray to the Lord and make your offenses few. Turn again to the Most High and away from your sin. Hate intensely what He loathes, and know the justice and judgments of God. Stand firm in the way set before you, in prayer to the Most High God. Who in the netherworld can glorify the Most High in place of the living who offer their praise? Dwell no longer in the error of the ungodly, but offer your praise before death. No more can the dead give praise than those who have never lived. You who are alive and well shall praise and glorify God in His mercies. How great the mercy of the Lord, His forgiveness to those who return to Him. Haydah Commentary. Make your offenses few, that is, remove sins and the occasions of sins. Return to the Highest and be converted from injustice, for He shall lead from darkness to the light of health, and greatly abhor abomination. The living and sound of heart shall praise the Lord. We cannot merit perseverance, but must pray for it incessantly. The Gospel from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before Him, and asked Him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Haydah Commentary. When Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone," he means God alone by His own nature is essentially, absolutely, and unchangeably good. At the same time, He is the source of all created goodness, as all goodness is a mere emanation from His. The man here addressing our Savior appears not to have believed that Christ was God. Wherefore our Savior, to rectify his misconception, tells him that God alone is good, insinuating thereby that he should believe Him to be God, or cease to address Him by the title of good. The sense is that only God is good necessarily and by His own nature. The Arian heretics use this verse to show that Christ is not truly and properly God. But by this way of speaking, Christ does not deny that He is good, even by His nature, and consequently God, but seems to speak in this manner to make the man know who he was. Christ's call to perfection shows there is a difference betwixt things that are of precept and those that are of counsel only, which they aim at that aspire to the greatest perfection. Evangelical perfection essentially consists in the perfect observance of God's commandments, which is greatly assisted by embracing not only voluntary poverty, but also the other counsels given to us in the Gospels, such as perpetual chastity and entire obedience. Thus, to follow Christ is to be without wife and care of children, to have no property, and to live in community. This state of life has a great reward in heaven. This state, we learn from St. Augustine, the apostles followed, and he himself not only embraced it, but exhorted as many others as he possibly could to embrace it. The whole perfection of a Christian life consists in following Christ by an imitation of his virtues, so that he who possesses poverty and chastity does not immediately become perfect, but only enters upon the way of perfection by facilitating his progress to perfection, removing hindrances, and laying aside all care of temporal concerns. St. Augustine teaches that the apostles bound themselves by vow to the observances of chastity, poverty, and obedience. Why did this young man depart sad, but because he had great riches? It is one thing not to wish for, and another to part with them when once we have them. They become incorporated and, as it were, a part of ourselves, like food, and, when taken, are changed into our own members. No one easily suffers a member of his body to be cut off. Regarding Christ's words, "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle," this might be a common saying to signify anything impossible or very hard, but nothing is impossible with God. The apostles wondered how any person could be saved, not as if all were rich, but because Christ was including the poor, who also can have their hearts and affections fixed on riches.